No, we haven't, and we haven't heard anything from the mainland exports to China either, and I do understand, generally speaking, mainland exports went well this year, but from a Tasmania perspective, there's no feedback along those lines at all.
Have we been sending any cherries to China yet?
Yeah, we have started. It is early in the piece, and I guess that's one of the important differences between cherries from different parts of Australia is because the Tasmanian fruit comes later. They're on the trees for longer, and they are bigger and firmer. So they are widely regarded as a very high-quality fruit.
Some of this media says there are complaints Australia's cherries aren't as good as Chilean fruit.
Yeah, well, they're very different fruit. They're actually selling in quite a different market. Undoubtedly, the Chinese market is a huge market, and the Chilean fruit is a very big part of that. But the Tasmanian cherries do tend to sell at the top end of that market for their quality.
Now, there's been accusations from China that Australia is politicising trade. There's claims that the market for cherries in China has dropped by 20%?
Again, look, we've had good demand so far, and the prospects for good demand. We'd certainly not like to get caught up in any political process or any aspect of that. We have tremendous long-term customers. The demand has been good, and the season so far is going well, and our fruit looks tremendous.
Must be a bit of a nervous time for those exporters.
I think in this environment, there are no guarantees, unfortunately. So we wait and we hope, but our role is to grow tremendous fruit and get it into the market and keep working closely with those long-term customers.
Have growers tried to diversify away from China a little bit?
Not really. I think it's been generally business as usual.
So watch this space.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's still another month or so to go until we get to Lunar New Year. And so far, things are looking good and the fruit's looking great.
What would you say to politicians?
I think that's their role, not mine. I think from our point of view, really we've got to focus on the growing season, the export. We're able to get it there. The air freight's working well at the moment. Everything's going fairly normally. And that's the most important thing. And they're the things we can control.
Peter Cornish from Fruit Growers Tasmania. If we can segue here to workers, how are pickers going with seasonal workers? Do they have enough?
I think it's tight. I think it's really tight. And some places are doing generally pretty well. And overall, we're a long way towards getting through this year. But this is our biggest month. But I think there are pockets where some of the growers are really are not getting as many workers as they'd like to. No question that we have a lot less workers. And, of course, the normally international workers that we would have, normally we would be inundated with people who are keen to do this work. But this year is a very different one and a very difficult one.
Locals really didn't pick it up, did they? Didn't sort of replace those international seasonal workers?
No, I think they have. They have to a degree.
But not fully.
No.
I mean,
no.
You needed thousands.
Yeah, we did. So, look, I think there has been a significant increase here, both in the interest, both in people who are doing as well the inductions and also coming and giving it a go. But it is tight. There's no question that they're not there in the same sort of numbers as what we would normally have with the international and foreign workers. So it has made this season and continues to be more challenging, without doubt.
Are growers having to think what they pick? Are they having to leave the paddocks that maybe aren't as fruitful?
I think overall they're still focusing on picking as normal, but there will be questions that come along. I mean, this month, this is an evolving beast. This is our peak month in January. We'll still have some significant requirements in February and March in particular, but this is the most difficult month when cherries are in full go at the same time.
But so there might be some that won't get picked?
Maybe. I think it'll be down to isolated issues, I think, but there's a real focus and there's still a really commitment to get the fruit picked.
Have we made it too hard for young people, for example, to earn good money and to want to pick fruit?
It's not easy work, and I guess it also takes time and to learn. I do think in parts we've made it too hard, and I think particularly for those people who may be on JobSeeker, we were very keen for the federal government to relax some of the requirements about how much income people could earn on the JobSeeker, and they didn't pick up that initiative, and I think that was a shame, and I think that would have been a major difference.
Some were promised to $3,000 or something a week. That's experienced people that would earn that sort of money.
Yeah, look, that's right. I think it by its nature, there's quite a range. There's a range between the very productive pickers who can earn very good money, But people who are not so well suited to it and as well don't put the time in and the effort into it.
Paid by the piece?
Absolutely. Absolutely from a picking point of view. And that's an essential part of the business. And that's all about productivity. And it's really important as well. And I think that's been one of the challenges this year is not having as many experienced pickers means we haven't been as productive on that side of it. And that has certainly caused challenges for growers to get the crop harvested.
So Howard Hance is saying on average pickers on piece rate should be able to earn 15% more of what you can on an hourly rate. I'm assuming that's when you're sort of going really well.
The award actually talks about that, of being the average competent picker should be able to earn, is meant to earn 15% above the corresponding hourly rate, the casual hourly rate in the horticulture award.
Does that happen though?
Yeah, it does. And
but with more experienced people.
Competent. Does talk about competence, no question. So is there a distribution of people who earn a lot above that? Yes, there is. Is there people who earn below that? Yes, there is as well. So our growers look very carefully about what that average is, what people are earning, but they also monitor every individual person and what they're earning to see where how people are going and what they're doing. And I remember talking to a grower before Christmas who then put in some initiatives in place to try and help a team of pickers to increase their productivity because they were lower on average than others.
Is there a minimum sort of cutoff?
No, there's not.
So if you're no good, you can really earn quite a small wage.
Yeah, that's right. But again, it's about productivity. That does sound harsh in one way, but in another way, that is really about productivity. And you do get out of this what you put into it.
I know one of the people that the ABC spoke to that couldn't get a job on an orchard was asked to fill in a 100-question questionnaire. Wow, that sounds a bit hard.
Certainly does. Certainly does. It does sound a lot.
You know anything about that?
No, I don't. I'm not aware of that, but that sounds onerous. Undoubtedly, in the times of COVID as well, there's a much higher induction requirement and to go through with what people need to do and be aware of and to ensure their health and welfare is protected when they're on farm. It is a number one priority, but it does sound a lot for sure.